Now, I'm going to be speaking today from the book of Ephesians. This is Paul's epistle to the church at Ephesus, called the book of Ephesians. I wish that you would get a Bible and open it to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to be dealing, verse by verse, the Lord willing, with the first 14 verses of the first chapter of Ephesians. I think it'd be very profitable to you. The title of this message is All Things Are in Christ. All things are in Christ. Now, while you're finding the scriptures, let me make a few opening comments. If we have not discovered, if it hasn't been revealed to us, that the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the foundation of the whole Bible, if that hasn't been revealed to you or to me, that Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the whole foundation, the essence, the substance, the summary of this Bible, to Him give all the prophets witness, then we've read the Bible with no profit, absolutely no profit. Our religion is vain. And actually, what knowledge we have of this sacred book in that day of judgment will only add to our misery and add to our condemnation because we missed the key of knowledge. Without Christ and Him crucified, a man's religion is like heaven without the sun. Can you imagine heaven without the sun? All would be darkness and death. And that's religion without Christ. Religion without Christ and Him crucified is like a lamp without oil. It's useless. Like a clock without hands or a compass without a needle. Without Christ crucified, we have no forgiveness of sins. We have no comfort in the time of trouble. We have no strength in death. We have no atonement in judgment. We have no mediator with God. For the Scripture says there's one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. All that a holy God has for a sinner, and that's what we are, guilty sinners, is in Christ Jesus alone. All that God has for a sinner is in Christ. That's true. The Scripture says that. Colossians 2 says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Can you imagine all the fullness of God? Now think about that. All the fullness of God. All that God has, all that God is, all that God gives. All of God dwells in Jesus Christ. All the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and you are complete in Him. And the Father, listen to this, John 3:35, the Father loves the Son. I've said that so many times on this telecast. The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into His hands. He that believeth on the Son of God hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth on him. It's not right. It's not fair. It's not true. And we must not tell men everywhere that God's in love with them when He's not. The Father loveth the Son. Do words mean anything? John 3:35 and 36. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hands. He that believeth on the Son hath life, and having life he has love. And he that believeth not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. Romans 8:39 says the love of God is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When the flood came, there was no mercy, no love, and no deliverance except in the ark. Outside the ark, there was wrath and judgment and death. When the manslayer fled, who accidentally killed someone, they called him the manslayer, and when he fled, he must flee to the city of refuge. And the only place of safety was within the city. Not wandering around outside somewhere claiming that he was protected, that he was loved, that he was cared for. He wasn't. He was in trouble. But when he got inside the city, he was under the protective care of the high priest. God said to Israel, I will dwell between the cherubims on the mercy seat, and there I'll meet you, and I'll commune with you at the mercy seat. And my friends, there'll not be one voice among the millions in heaven, not one voice among the millions or billions or whatever, a number that cannot be numbered in heaven. There'll not be one voice which will not be singing praises to Jesus Christ. This is the song of heaven. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God, unto him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Every voice. For the scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess in heaven, on earth, and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you understand what I'm saying? Men can believe what they want to. They can go where they please. They can listen to whomever they please. But I'm telling you what this book says. And the very foundation of this book is Christ and him crucified. Every promise is in Christ. Every promise of God is in Christ, yea and amen. Outside of Christ, there's nothing. This is the message of the book, Christ and him crucified. All things are in Christ. Now look here at Ephesians 1. I want you to watch this. Just about 10 times the scriptures used in him, in Christ, of Christ. Right here in these 14 verses, about 10 times. Everything's in him. Now, watch it. Paul, he starts this verse off, Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul. And God's servants were never fond of titles. You'll never find one taking a title unto himself. David said, holy and reverend is God's name. They never called themselves Dr. Paul or Bishop Paul or Right Reverend Paul. It's just Paul. Somebody said the only man who ever deserved a doctor's degree in the ministry wouldn't wear it. And that's Paul. But he said, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle. There are no apostles today. An apostle had to have seen the Lord and receive his message directly from the Lord. But he said, I am an apostle. I'm an apostle by the will of God. By the will of God. God put me in the ministry, he said. God gave me my message. I didn't learn it from men. God taught me the message. And he's writing to the saints. My friend, what is a saint? A saint is any true believer. A person not a saint because he's been canonized by a certain group of people. He's not a saint because he's done some marvelous, unusual miracle proven several hundred years after he's dead. Every believer is a saint because every believer is sanctified. Every believer is a saint. Every child of God, old, young, male, female, every believer is a saint. He's writing to the saints, to the believers, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful. And you know the Bible is addressed to believers. The Bible's not addressed to men in general, except judgment. Judgment's addressed to the unbeliever. Judgment's addressed to the natural man. But all the promises of God in Christ are addressed to believers. He's writing, this book is written to believers, to saints, to the sanctified in Christ Jesus, to the faithful. Where are they? They're in Christ Jesus. That's what I said a moment ago. Everything's in him. And they're in him. Now watch this. He says, and grace be to you. Grace and peace from God our Father. Grace always precedes peace. Somebody wrote one time, grace, how good, how great, how free. Grace, how easy to be found. Only let your misery in the Savior's blood be drowned. Grace first inscribed my book, my name in God's eternal book. Grace gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took. Grace taught my soul to pray. Grace made my eyes overflow. Grace has kept me to this day. And grace will not let me go. For grace will complete what grace begins to save me from sorrow and from sin. The work that God's grace undertakes, eternal mercy, will never forsake. Grace comes for peace. Man can't have peace with God till he partakes of the grace of God. The grace of God, the grace of forgiveness, the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you. Where does grace come from? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Father does, the Son does, and the Spirit does. What the Father purposes, the Son purchases, and the Spirit applies. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our God is one. Now I want you to watch this. In the next 3 or 4 verses, you have the work of the Father in the redemption of a sinner. In the next few verses, you have the work of the Son. And in the next few verses, you have the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you that. Will you look at it? Paul said, now I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I'm writing to believers. I'm writing to the saints. I'm writing to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And grace to you. Grace from God our Father. And peace. Peace of heart. Peace with God. Peace with one another. From the Father. From the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 3. Now watch him as he defines the purpose and the will and the work of the Father in the redemption of a sinner. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God. What does bless God mean? Praise God. It means a doxology. It means to praise His name. Bless Him because He is God. Bless Him because He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Him because He's blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, that's past tense, already blessed us. God has blessed us. Paul starts where he is. And he said, God's blessed me. Paul, what's God blessed you with? He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Look at it there. He has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. This is not material blessings and physical blessings and worldly, carnal blessings. You know, I wish people weren't so taken up with this old world. Solomon tried all of it, as no man before or since. And he came to the conclusion, it's all vanity. All of your big houses and all of your fine clothes and your satin and royalty and all of this social life, this is all vanity. This too shall pass away. And today they got the idea that if you wear a diamond ring and a Rolex watch and drive a Mercedes and live in a 10-room house and have money in the bank, you got it made. That doesn't mean anything. It's all going to go back to the dust. But Paul said, the Father has blessed me with spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings, not in my garage, not in my job, not in this old decaying body, not in the house I live, in heavenly, in the heavenly places God's blessed me. At His right hand, I have a Savior. I have a Redeemer. I have a Mediator who gives me justification and sanctification and righteousness and redemption. I'd rather wear patches on my trousers and know Christ than to wear the finest suits that can be money can buy and not know the Son of God. I hear these preachers say, God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be popular. That's just not so. God Almighty wills for you to know Christ. Whether you're poor or whether you live in Mexico or America, whether you're a janitor or whether you're president of the company, if you know Christ, bless God who has blessed us with heavenly blessings, spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. That's where they are. They're in Christ. Now, Paul starts where he says, God's blessed me. Bless God, He's blessed me. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. The prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said, I've learned wherever I am to be content. Bless God, he said, He's blessed me. He wasn't driving down the road with a telephone in his car and having money in his pocket and claiming to be well and healthy and on the top side, on the shady side. He was in prison. And bless God, who's blessed me with all blessings, all spiritual blessings. And he takes a step back. He said, according as he had chosen us in Christ. He chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's when he chose me. He chose me. He loved me. I didn't love him. I love him because he loved me. Herein is love, not that we love God. He loved us. He loved us and chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's when God chose us. He chose people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven to save them. God's not trying to do anything. He's doing everything he wills to do, everything he purposed to do, everything he plans to do. Somebody said, well, God's got a wonderful plan. I wish you'd help him work it. He'll work it. He told Pharaoh, I raised you up to dump you in the river for my glory. And he raised Moses up out of the same household in Egypt to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. Not because we were holy, but that we should be holy. And that we should be without blame before him in love. Now watch this. Watch verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Paul starts where he is. He said, God's blessed me. God's blessed me with all these spiritual blessings, heavenly blessing in Christ, eternal life, forgiveness, a righteousness, sanctification, my name written in glory. Why? He chose to do it. He chose to do it. He chose to do it before the world began. He chose to make me holy and without blame before him. Having already predetermined. What does the word predestinated mean? Well, take destination. What is my destination? My destination is heaven. My destination is to be like Christ. My destination is to be conformed to his image. Well, when was all that decided? When was that determined? Predestinated, preordained, predecided. That's exactly right. God did it. And you know, when you find the word predestination, it's in the New Testament 4 times, probably 5 if you take the scripture in Peter. But 4 times. In Romans 8 twice, here in Ephesians 1 twice. And every time it has to do with one thing. One thing. God Almighty has predetermined and predestinated and pre-purposed that everybody whom he saves is going to be like Christ. You read it. You read it. Election has to do with people. Predestination has to do with what those people are going to be. That's exactly right. Watch Paul here in verse 3. God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. According, take a step back, he chose me to be holy. Having, he takes another step back, having already predetermined, predestinated all of us to be conformed to the image of God's Son. To be adopted as a child by Christ Jesus. Now watch this. According to the good pleasure of his own will. Why'd God do this? He willed to do it. You know, I hear people talk about man's free will, and man's will's in bondage. My will, your will, free will, their will, this will, that will. Listen, you know whose will's going to be done? God's will. According to the good pleasure of his own will, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Daniel said, wrote in Daniel 4, he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. And John wrote in John 1:13, we're born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, we're born of God. And Paul wrote in Romans 9, it's not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, it's of God that showeth mercy. Well, what about my will? Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. I'll tell you what your will is. Your will is a will not. I will not. Just like I read this and some people say, I will not believe it. No, you will if God teaches it to you. You will if God opens your eyes and you see it. You will if God opens your heart to believe it. You will if he makes you his child, you'll give him the glory. Because the next verse said he did all this to the praise of the glory of his grace. You see it there? Verse 6, he did it to the praise of the glory of his grace. That in the ages to come he might show his riches, his grace toward us in Christ Jesus. Oh, bless God, Paul says. I'm starting where I am. Bless God who's blessed me according as He chose me, having predestinated me to the adoption of a son, according to the good pleasure of His own will. And He did it all that He might be glorified, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Glorify His grace. We're not going to walk around heaven praising our preacher and praising our denomination and praising our works and praising our might and praising our strength and praising our gifts. We're going to walk around heaven praising our God, wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved. Everybody out here talks about who they accepted. I accepted. I accept. This doesn't say that. In fact, I can't find it anywhere in the Word of God where a man accepts Jesus. I find where Christ accepted us. It says here, He made us accepted in the Beloved. He made us accepted. He made us righteous so He could accept us. He made us holy so He could accept us. He made us without sin so that we could be accepted. But He made us accepted. He accepted us in Christ. Now watch these next verses and you'll find the work of the Son. He said He made us accepted in the Beloved. You see verse 6. Verse 7 says, in whom? In whom? In Christ. The in whom is Christ. Christ is the whom. In whom we have redemption. What is redemption? Redemption is when something's bought back. I take my watch down to the pawn shop. I'm out of money. I give it to the man. I say, I want to sell you my watch. I want some money in return for my watch. He said, I'll give you $50 for it. I said, well, thank you. And I take it, and it's his. And he hangs it on the shelf and puts a price tag on it. If I go back a week later to redeem it, I'm going to have to pay what it costs. And I pay him the $50 or the $55 or $60, and he gives me my watch. I just redeemed my watch. How did I redeem it? I bought it. I paid what was owing on it. I paid the debt, the outstanding debt on that watch. And here, we had a debt on us. We were in debt to the law. We were in debt to the justice of God. We're sinners, my friend. Don't take that lightly. God's angry with the wicked. That's what the Word of God says, but we've been told by all these silly preachers, oh, God's in love with everybody. God's just a great big old white-headed granddaddy who's in love with everybody. He's not mad at anybody, and we're all going to heaven when we die. That's not so. God's angry. The wrath of God resteth and abideth upon the ungodly. Oh, we need to be redeemed. We need to be redeemed through His blood. If God, listen, how lost is man? How lost are men? They're so lost, it took the blood of God to cleanse them. They're so lost, it took the death of the Son of God to save them. They're so lost that Almighty God sent His own Son, the only one who could possibly redeem us. That's how lost we are. We have through His blood the forgiveness of sin, and that according to the riches of His grace. It's not because we deserved it. It's because God's rich in grace. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Christ wisely redeemed us. We see in Him the wisdom and the power of God. And look at verse 9. And Jesus Christ made known unto us the mystery of His will. Do you know the gospel's a mystery? Oh, yes, it is. The gospel's a mystery. It has to be revealed. It's not learned by education. It comes by revelation. But He, Jesus Christ, our prophet, who reveals God, He said, no man knows the Father but the Son, He to whom the Son will reveal Him. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten hath declared Him. The only way you'll know God is to see Christ. The disciples said, well, show us the Father. He said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. He made known unto us the mystery of God's will according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. The purpose is in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and earth. If you're not in Christ, you won't be gathered. That gathering will be of those in Christ. That's right, I told you. In the ark, in the city of refuge, in the Redeemer, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Beloved, even in Him. He repeats it. He'll gather together in that great day all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. And in Christ, look at verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Being predestinated. We in Christ, that's our inheritance. That's our life. That's our glory. That's our heaven in Christ. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of God, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. In Christ we have redemption. In Christ we have a revelation of God's will. In Christ we have an inheritance. And all of it, look at verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. That we should be to the praise, not of us, but of His glory, who trusted in Christ. Now watch verse 13. You have the Holy Spirit's ministry. In whom you trusted, after you heard the word of truth. Not error. Not some fellow just popping off. But you heard the word of truth, straight from the word of God. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit. I tell you this, don't be deceived by these fellows selling the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody who's saved is baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Everybody who knows Christ has the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Absolutely. And you believed, and you were sealed, and never spoiled. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is your comforter, your teacher, who abides within you. And He's the earnest. He's the token. He's the pledge of your inheritance until the redemption of that purchased possession. Watch the last line. Unto the praise of His glory. There it is. If you want to listen to this message again and digest it, and study it. I want you to. I want you to see if this is what God's saying. See if these things be true. You write for it. I'll send it to you. $2. I'll send you this message and another. Here's the address. Till next week, God bless you.